He did talk about offering, but don't throw anything if you can help it. So, Matthew 26, guys. This is our regularly scheduled sermon. And we want to do what God wants us to talk about this morning. We've had a theme this morning, but, you know, there's no accidents in the kingdom of God. And this theme this morning is essentially, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these other things will be added to you, okay? It's essentially been, delight yourself in the Lord, okay? And he'll get the desires of your heart. And I woke up this morning without using either one of those scriptures, and this is not a joke. Literally, the first prayer I prayed this morning was, God, I don't want to continually seek the pearl of great price so that that pearl will do something for me, make me. What I want to do is to seek the pearl of great price, Lord, so that I will have the pearl of great price. And we know that is Christ, okay? Not his ability to multiply wealth, which is true, not his planting and reaping, which is all true, but we don't seek it for that reason. We seek it for him and let him change us. Does that make sense? If we start seeking concepts versus the conceptor, the one who could, I don't even know how to use that, what word that would even be, the one who spoke it, before long, we're off track. Anybody ever been off track? Yeah, no? Okay, good. Good for you. Because I may have been slightly off from time to time. Okay, Matthew 26 and 36. And we're working our way, some of you say, at a snail's pace through Matthew. But it's okay. It's okay. Because God knows what he's doing. So, we are on this path to the cross. And guys, I want to tell you that in these last few weeks of looking at Matthew, I've spent time just meditating on the scripture, these scriptures in specifically, and thinking about the fact. See, a lot of times when we go through something, I was thinking about, Lord, what would the mindset be? Because he's already told everybody at least three times, maybe four times at this point, I came here to die. I'm going to the cross. He's told his disciples that, okay? And that means he's been on this 3.5 year walk to the cross. And I think about the horror of the cross. I'm talking about from the physical aspect, the pain, the suffering. And imagine us having something like that up ahead of us and us thinking about it. But see, the reason that he was able to do that and continue that is, okay, number one, he is God's son. But number two, watch this, guys. He knew that was the purchase price for what we had to have. In other words, you say, you know, I'm making payments on a house and making, you know, got all these payments. But listen, you entered into that knowing that that's what it costs to get what that is. Do you see what I'm saying? And he loved you so much that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believe in him does not perish but has everlasting life. Is that the word of God? And Jesus was fulfilling that with everything he said, everything he did, and of course the finality of his death. So these last few hours that we're talking about him before the cross, we've got seven words this morning, and that's a scary thing for some of you, but it's going to be okay. Usually when I have more points, I move faster. So relax. God's in charge. So Matthew 26, 36. And Jesus came with him to a place called Gethsemane and said to the disciples, sit here while I go and pray over there. And he took with him Peter, the two sons of Zebedee, and he began to be sorrowful and deeply distressed. Now, guys, his flesh is struggling. Is anybody's flesh in here ever struggled? Come on. Is anybody's flesh in here ever struggled? You might get angry. Things might happen in your family. Things might happen. People might do something. And I'm talking about larger things now. I'm not talking about some of the drivers we have in the Ozarks. Anyway, which never bothers me. But anyway, but the point being is this, guys. He was in sorrowful and deeply distressed. And when that happened, he said, "My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Stay here and watch with me. Be with me. Stay with me. I want you to be with me during this time." They went a little farther, fell on his face, and he prayed, saying, "Oh, my Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but you are." And he came to the disciples and found them asleep. Okay, the first two points we're going to hit on this morning. You ready? Okay, number one, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, when he was going through this time, this is the anointed Holy Spirit breathed word of God. He struggled, didn't he? So if you're struggling this morning, realize that everybody struggled, including Jesus. If you're struggling, you say, "You know what? I'm afraid. This country is crazy, and I'm afraid. I'm afraid people are walking into Mad Butchers in Fort Ice, Arkansas, and just start shooting. I'm afraid. They're polluting the water. I'm afraid. What Jesus? You know, my family. I'm afraid." Guess what? Everybody has a time in their life when they're distressed or afraid. Things that the economy. Whatever's bothering you this morning. So here, let's do what Jesus did when he struggled. He prayed and went to the Father. That's the first point, okay? Because I've had the opportunity this week to pray with some people that were, they did 7 days, 24 hours a day of prayer and worship in this facility. And I went out there for a couple of times and spent some time with them. And I want to tell you something. The presence of God was there, okay? And we need to move prayer from something that's at the end of something or something before we eat to a priority in our lives. And if you want to be in his presence, you need to learn how to pray. You need to turn your phone off. You need to turn the TV off. You need to find a closet. And that doesn't mean you don't have to get in a closet, okay? But what that is a picture of is the old prayer shawls that they would, in those days, they would pull over, and that was their place of sanctuary. And I want to tell you something. When I was in his presence this week with all those people, there were 15 or 20, whatever, and the presence of the Lord was so strong, I want to tell you something. I was fine. Nothing changed on the outside. When I went out there and pumped gas the next time, it was the same price. You see what I'm saying? Nothing changed. There was the same amount when I left there in my checkbook as I went and went. Whatever you want, whatever category you want to put it in, okay? But I was fine because I had been in his presence and I realized, hey, God's in charge. So do what Jesus did. WWJD. Okay, do what Jesus did. Yes, I'm going to say this. I stood on the left hand of a doctor doing an autopsy from a man who had overdosed on drugs. And on his left arm, on his left wrist, was a WWJD. And I want to tell you that that can't just be a saying. It's got to be a lifestyle. And I'm going to tell you something. I treat you differently when I do WWJD. Because Jesus loves you. You may irritate me. Okay? But Jesus loves you. So what would he do? He died for his bride. He died for this world. And I want to tell you that it can't be just some initials. It's got to be who you are if you want it to be something that matters. He was going through a crushing. He was going through a breaking. And I want to tell you that place, Gethsemane, was many times talked about as a olive grove, okay? But in that olive grove, if you go there, you will find this huge press. And what it's used for is they put the olives in this huge press, this huge stone, and as they are crushed, then the oil from the olives comes out. And this was a place, you don't realize there's nothing by accident in the Bible. Gethsemane is a place of crushing. And I want to tell you what happens when you go through a place of crushing. What's inside of you comes out. And I want to be very clear with you guys. Sometimes I get squeezed on the edge and something jumps out that's not so good. Okay? Something happens I don't like, or maybe something jumps out of my mouth that I don't like. But I want to tell you, this deep crushing is what he was going through. So the first thing is, it's okay to struggle, but let's go to him with our struggles. But he also, the second thing is, he wanted his posse around him, didn't he? His closest. But the second point irritates me, okay? It irritates me. His posse was there in body, but what did they do? They went to sleep. And so what happens is, he came to his disciples and found them asleep and says these words. And I'm going to do this a little, I'm going to animate this a little bit. What? Could you not watch with me 1 hour? And I want to put this on there. It's not in the King James. Really? Is it, do you pick that up in that, the nuance of that scripture? That's what he's saying. Okay. Watch and pray lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Somebody calls me and says, oh man, I need prayer. This is going on. And my spirit says, yes, we're going to pray. And you know why I immediately pray right then? Because before long, something comes here. You know, I mean, I do it right then. Or I get my prayer journal out or get my Bible out and write a piece of paper and stick it in there in some place I know I'm going to be in the next couple of days. You see what I'm saying? Because here's the deal. Our spirit is willing. How many of y'all want to be good? Mostly. Most of y'all do. Okay. But here's the deal. That's your spirit. But your flesh, you have to disciple. The root word is discipline. Okay, yourself to do that. And the Holy Spirit gives us the ability to walk in his power and in his grace. Does that make sense? Grace means, yeah, you're going to mess it up. His power means, yeah, you're going to get up and do it again. You're going to keep back after. Okay, so how many of you know, the Olympics are coming up. How many of y'all think that they just are going to literally, they're just going to go through and just pick out some folks and say, yeah, you'd be on the Team USA. I know you've never played basketball before. I know you've never run a race before, but yeah, you're working at Home Depot, so I think you could probably, you know. I mean, do you think they're going to do it like that, or do you think it's going to be the people who persevered, that fell down, that got up? Do you think that's who they're going to choose to do that, to represent this country? Absolutely. You think they never failed? You think they never missed the practice? You think they never wished they hadn't done that? Do you think? No, but they kept going. You cannot win the race if you stop. Don't stop. Don't quit. So, yeah. Second point was my favorite. If you're not careful, you get distracted. And I'll let you figure out why you think that's my favorite. Because maybe I've heard it more than some of y'all. Because maybe I need it. To be such a pretty day, there's just not that many bikes out. Okay. All right. But I'm not distracted. Don't worry about it. It's fine. It'll be fine. So, here's the deal. The third point, some of you have been through this. Let's jump down to 47. And while he was still speaking, behold, Judas, one of the 12, with great multitude of swords and clubs, came from the chief priests and elders, and his betrayer had given him a sign, saying, whomever I kiss, he is the one sees him. And immediately they went up to Jesus and said, he went up to Jesus and said, greetings, Rabbi, and kissed him. And Jesus said to him, friend, why have you come? Then they came and laid hands on Jesus and took him. I don't want you to think that I'm picking on anybody. I'm serious. Because I didn't pick this out. This is from the Lord. Some of you have been betrayed. And I feel like some in the past I've been betrayed. Okay? I've been done wrong. You've been done wrong. But I want to tell you, this is the same guy that Jesus just explained communion and washed his feet. And I want to tell you, I have a friend in another place, be very generic, and she brought something up the other day in her teaching, and she does not teach publicly. She teaches, it's written, okay? And she was bringing up the scriptures about foot washing. And some of you are going, okay, but I want you to understand something. I came from a tradition that as a six-year-old boy, the men went in this little room on this side, and the women went in on this little room on this side. And they sat there, and one by one, they would wash each other's feet. And then I went to a men's retreat in my 40s. And the first thing they did after the first service, the first night, was the elders of that place came and washed your feet. And I want you to understand something, guys. You say, that's not necessary for salvation. You're absolutely correct, 100%. But please wash your feet at your home. But never mind, that's just a side note, okay? But guys, literally, I want to tell you that that broke something in me as a child. In a good way. Something that needed, because I want to tell you, it would not be hard for me to wash anybody's feet in here. But to let anybody in this room wash my feet, anybody, it would be extremely hard for me. Remember what the guy, remember that Jesus is coming around and he says, Lord, you're not going to wash my feet. Remember that guy? You're not going to wash my feet. And he says, well, if I can wash your feet, you have no place. I want it all. I want the full meal deal. You remember that? But here's the deal, guys. I'm serious. It breaks something in you. And humility is lacking in the body of Christ. It's lacking. Because we're all that and a bag of chips. Whoever you are, we're all that and a bag of chips. So, some of you are a little more spicy than others, but anyway, you're chips. But so, here's the deal. He walking in that humility, and then instead of him saying, why did you do this? Why did you? He goes, friend, why have you come? And he is betrayed. Has anybody in here been betrayed? Has anybody in here been done wrong by your family, by friends, the circumstances, the action? And guys, I want to tell you that going through the death of a friend of mine recently, which I will be very generic, and watching them slowly get sicker, and then them passing away, and then me doing the funeral. I want to tell you something. I prayed and prayed and prayed for her to be healed. I prayed and prayed and prayed. But watching her go through that process has changed everyone in her circle. Because, you know, Jesus is going through this because he knows this isn't all there is. Does that make sense? If this is all there is, let's take the pews out, bring in the sawdust, and, you know, charge admission, and we can, well, we've got a fairly good band. We could, I guess, have sock hop or something. Anyway, maybe get a DJ. I don't know. But no, this is not all there is, okay? This is a kingdom of eternal consequence. And that's why Jesus is doing this in this story. So, then, which is irritating to me, okay, the fourth point. So Jesus said, this is not the point, but I'm going to go ahead and tell this part. And his hand drew the sword, one of those with Jesus, struck the servant of the high priest and cut off his ear. And Jesus said to him, put your sword in its place, for all who take the sword will perish with the sword. Or do you think that I cannot now pray the Father and he will provide me with more than 12 legions of angels? Then how could the scripture be fulfilled that this must happen? This has to happen. And guys, he is living out the prophecy. He's living it out. He is the prophecy. And at that hour, Jesus said to the multitudes, have you come out against me with swords and clubs to take me? I sat daily with you teaching in the temple, and you didn't seize me. But all this was done that the scriptures of the prophets might be fulfilled. Now, here's our fourth point. Get this. Then all the disciples forsook him and fled. Okay, this irritates me. Okay. But that's our nature. When things get hard, we get away from it. When things stink, we cover it up. Okay? That's our nature as human beings. And they saw the huge group of people coming against them. They see what they're going to do to him. They don't want to be crucified. They don't. You see what I'm saying? So they flee. And I want to tell you that I tell you, it irritates me because I see myself in this. Okay, that's why it irritates me. But are we denying him and fleeing him every day? Because as I'm looking at this, I'm thinking, you know, God, every time, and I'm not talking about me getting you straight at work, or, you know, your problem is this. No, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about being the salt and the light to the world around us. I'm not talking about being the regulator or the Sunday school monitor. I'm talking about the theology. Your theology's got obviously not perfect because it's not mine. But what I am talking about is, are we forsaking him daily? Let's not. Let's choose today whom we're going to serve. And choose. Because I want to tell you, those times that God is talking about love, the Greek word that he's using there is the one that's a choice. To love your neighbor as yourself doesn't mean,
Oh, look at them. They're so cute. So emotional.
And I am emotional. But it's not, I'm not that emotional when you got dirty britches. Okay? Then it's a choice. Does that make sense? A choice to love. And these guys fled. And let's not flee, okay? Let's follow him. The next point, oh, I'll be nice, okay. And those who laid hold of Jesus led him away to Caiaphas, the high priest, where the scribes and the elders were assembled, but Peter followed at a distance at the high priest's courtyard and went in with the servants to see the end. And the chief priests and the elders and all the council sought false testimony against Jesus to put him to death. Is there always somebody lying? No, I'm serious. And here's the deal. Almost in every story, there's five or six versions of it, and some of them are closer to the truth than the other, but we were talking about something the other day about work, actually, about two people responding to the same call, and one person might notice one thing, one person might know the other. Both of them would be their, what, perception of what they saw, did, what happened. And they won't never be like this. They'll always be either a little bit like this or like this, because you perceive things differently. You will see different things. You might see this better than me. I might see something in the detail better than this. But here's the deal, guys. Literally, there's always a liar in the bunch. And the council saw fake testimonies, but found none. Even though many false witnesses came forward, they found none. But at last, two false witnesses came forward. So they found some liars. And I want to tell you, and I want to warn you, what I'm going to say is slightly controversial. My background, my educational background, a lot of it is in business. And the way that I sell you something is to create a need or a fear or a lust, and then I sell you something to take care of that, and then I make money. Does that make sense? Now, I'm not talking about the grocery store. They may shine up the apple a little bit on the outside, but I mean, literally, that's the way it's working. And be very careful today with this world of, we're all tied together by mass media, we're all tied together by social media, we're all tied. Everyone is trying to sell you a candidate. They're trying to sell you this, they're trying to sell you that. They're either using fear or doubt or shame or whatever. Do you see what I'm saying? Be very careful. And my daddy used to literally say this, well, just look where the money goes. Okay, and right now, if I ran my personal finances the way the government is doing their finances, you guys would get rid of me immediately. If I was trillions of dollars in debt, I mean, think about it. You'd say, there's something wrong with that boy, right? And that's the way our entire, and it has for years. So don't, you point at this one, point at that one. And I want to tell you, watch what is, where the money goes, okay? But here's the deal. There's always somebody lying. There's always somebody pointing fingers. There's always some of that. And what they did say is, this fellow said, I'm able to destroy the temple of God and build it up in 3 days. And essentially, Jesus would not speak. And how many of you know that a lot of times that's the best policy? No comment. I've had people come to me, literally, I'll never forget it, and go, what are we gonna do about this? And you know what I'd say? Trust God.
Oh, well, you're not gonna,
I said, no. You're not gonna sell everything, you're not gonna buy everything, you're not gonna buy 10 million rounds of ammo, you're not gonna do this, you're not gonna build a bunker. I said, no, I'm not. You know why?
Because this ain't all there is. I read the story of Esther. And then y'all drugged me to town to watch it on the picture show. Or was that a play or a picture show? Oh, play. And it was good, by the way. I don't know how much it cost. But anyway, it was good. Because I don't care about the money. You know, I'm not cheap or anything. But anyway, but the point is, some of us are here for such a time as this. And some of you have been through the stuff you've been through for such a time as this. And you think, what? No, I'm telling you. Because God always has his people back there. He's always got his folks to do what he's got them to do. But he just said, no, I'm not. He just refused to answer. He said, are you not going to say anything? And then he says this. And the high priest answered and said, I adjure you by the living God that you tell us if you are Christ, the Son of God. Now, he was setting him up because he didn't believe he was. He was wanting him to blaspheme. He's setting him up because anybody that said they were God then, okay, he had an avenue to get rid of him, okay? Jesus said to him, it is as you have said. Nevertheless, I say to you, hereafter you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of the power and coming in the clouds of heaven. Can you imagine this high priest when that happens? He's going to go, after all these years? And the high priest tore his clothes, saying, he spoke in blasphemy. What further do we need? And they, guys, that was it. And see, Jesus had to do that, okay? He had to make that statement because if he didn't, they couldn't get enough together against him. And he came to lay his life down, didn't he? And we need to see things in a larger context. Some of us are going through things and we say, you know, this ain't right. And you know, does this sound like this is right to you? It's like the little boy that was in Sunday school. My mama was teaching me Sunday school. And mama was telling the story of this story here and then onto the cross. And he said, I'm gonna tell you something. If Superman had been here there, that wouldn't have happened. Because that wasn't right. And you know what? I look at this, and you know it ain't right. And it ain't right. And some of the things that's happened to y'all ain't right. And but here's the deal. Then it got worse. Sixth point is they spat in his face, beat him, and others struck him with the palms of their hands, making fun of him. And I'm putting that part in there, but saying, prophesy to us, Christ. Who's the one that struck you? Your prophet prophesied to us. I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to be very generic and very quick. At one point, I worked every domestic violence in this county for 2 years on a government grant. And I've never been real good with bullies. I've never, we'll go fast. And doing that, even though I had worked hundreds of domestics before that, and domestics to the point that turned into homicides, domestic homicide before that. But just that constant stream of people showing their worst. Does that make sense? And guys, I want to tell you, Jesus was physically abused. And listen, I'm not, we'll just keep moving. But the bottom line is this, some of you under the sound of my voice, maybe even in here, have been physically abused. And the first thing I want to tell you, that is if a man did that to you, I am so sorry. I'm so sorry. Because that's not the way it's supposed to work. And if you're a man and you've been abused by a woman, or you've been abused by a parent or a relative, I'm so sorry, because that's not the way it's supposed to be. And I want to tell you, if we're not careful, that will shift the way we see things as with authority, because I want to tell you something, God's authority, and I want you to see what he did here so that you could have eternal life. He did not, he just said, I'm yours, Lord. And guys, I'm not telling you that, not take up for yourself, I'm not saying anything like that. What I'm saying though is, he went through this, and so when you pray and you say, Lord, that person did this, that person did that, and when I, every week when I say that, and I forgive those who trespass against me, I want to tell you something, every time I say that, I think of those of you who've been abused, and those of you who've been mistreated, those of you who've been made fun of, those who've been bullied, I think of you, and my flesh wants to slap somebody. And let's just be honest, that's my flesh wants to work that out amongst us. But on the other hand, my spirit knows that God is the healer. And he went through this so that you could be healed. Then the seventh point, unfortunately, Peter sat outside in the courtyard, and the servant girl came to him and said, you were with Jesus of Galilee. But he denied it, saying, I don't know what you're saying. And then another girl saw him and said, this fellow is Jesus of Nazareth. But again, he said, this time with an oath, I don't know the man. And after a while, those stood back, came to him and said to Peter, surely you are also. And he began to curse and swear, saying, I don't know the man. And I want to tell you guys, let's not do that. Let's live our lives so that we're healers and not hurters. That we are men and women that say, you know what? Yes, I'm one of his. And I love, again, I'm going to say it again. I love the fact that the people that I ride with, people that I hang with, some motorcycles, some of the people I hang with, are called the black sheep, Harley Davidsons for Christ. Because here's the deal, I've never fit in. How do you fit in when you do what I do for a living, you're called to preach and you don't want to do it? How do you, you're maybe slightly ADD, how do you fit in? Where do you fit? I'm going to tell you. Again, I'll tell this story. Lampy, Missouri, 1990-something, 5. I'm crying out to God, And he showed me. He said, you know what? Yeah. You're a cracked cup. You're pretty rough. You're pretty rough around the edges. But those who are thirsty will come get a drink. You won't make everybody happy. But those who are thirsty, will come get a drink. And I want to tell you, we're not talking about perfection. We're talking about possession. I belong to him. And I'm not perfect. And sometimes I'm less perfect than other times. Shocking revelation. But the bottom line is this. Everywhere I go, I take Jesus with me. I take him with me. And let's not deny him. In our weakness, he is, come on, in our weakness, he is, I can't hear you. In our weakness, he is, okay, I could hear you, but I wanted these folks to hear you, because that's what Paul says while he was busy about writing a lot of the New Testament. He says, the things I want to do, sometimes I don't do. The things I don't want to do, sometimes I do. Now, there's that, I don't think that part's in there, but you know what I'm saying. That's it, literally, guys. Anybody in here ever screw it up? Okay. Everybody ever fall off the platform, say a bad word? Yeah, I have. Okay. But anyway, that's why I'm always careful when I'm along the edges, especially if I'm on things. Okay. You know, you'll say things around your family you won't say on TV. Anyway, all right, guys. So, sorrow, the stairway. Some of us have been betrayed. I want to tell you, forsaken. We've all got mouths talking, liars, pointing fingers. He went through the beating and the abuse, the physical abuse. But let's not deny him. Let's receive him today with his Holy Spirit and be the witnesses in Jerusalem. I don't know where your Jerusalem is. There's people, I looked at the map the other day of different people who are watching from different places, and it's all over. But your Jerusalem is right there where you are. And then as you move out, your job, you're admitted to the uttermost parts of the world. So be that light. So Father, thank you so much for these folks as we keep walking with you to the cross, Lord, which the cross is what makes the difference, Lord. As we talked about in Sunday school, it fills that cross-shaped hole in my heart, Lord, knowing that I'm redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, that I can go forward in faith and confidence, Lord, even being the cracked cup I am, Lord, the broken vessel, Lord, just the clay that you have chosen to put your spirit in. But I can, Lord, walk this walk and just keep walking for you, Lord. So give us that faith and confidence and peace in that this morning, Lord. And we love you. We give our lives to you, Lord. And let us be the men and women you've called us to be. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. May the Lord bless you and keep you. Let his light shine on you and give you peace. Have a great week. Bye.